LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. You know, the so-called Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., he once said, men should be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And you know what I say? Amen to that statement. This statement is certainly in keeping with the words what Jesus stated in John 7:24. He said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. For Christians to beware, and Jesus said, beware of the false prophets in Matthew 7:15, they must judge. In the very context of the passage of false prophets, they are told how to judge. Jesus said, beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they?
Even so,
every good tree bears good fruit, but the rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. In the quote of the words of Jesus Christ, teaching that judgment is not to be made solely on the outward appearance that the scribes and talk show hosts and politicians have given us for Martin Luther King Jr. Most false prophets appear or are made to appear outwardly righteous, like lambs, but investigation of their fruit will reveal otherwise. Now, the fruit test requires more than surface appearance, rhetoric, or a vote of Congress, believe me. Let me give you some basic facts concerning Michael King. That was his real name, Michael King. He was the son of a Baptist preacher. At the age of 15, he attended the liberal Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. In December, 30th of December, 1963, the edition of the National Observer reported King as saying that the Bible was full of myths and legends. And at Morehouse, he had the shackles of fundamentalism removed. So it said, it does not appear that he ever publicly made a confession of Jesus Christ as his King, as his Savior, and as the only begotten Son of God. Not once, from what we can tell. In the mid-50s, this man emerged as a charismatic leader of the black community, became the head of the newly founded Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC. He was an active leader in the civil rights movement of the 60s and was murdered on a balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, this podcast is heard down there in Memphis, and some of you people down there are going to be upset with me. But order the track. What's it going to cost you? Postage stamp. By the way, the material I just gave you is in the track. I gave you that part of the story, but the rest of the story reveals financial corruption, sexual deviancy. Yes, I said it, sexual deviance. Seemed to point that that's what he was. And, though it's antiquated to say it, communist activity. Because we've let them believe now that we've let them convince us, I should say, to believe that communism is dead. But the terrors aren't dead. The sons of hell aren't dead. Those who serve Satan are not dead. They're alive and well for the time being, but not for long. Due to the control of the media and the publishing houses by these Antichrist sons of hell terrors, the rest of the story, for the most part, is kept from the people. Those who attempt to speak the truth on this subject are often viciously attacked, labeled as white supremacists, racist, bigots, insane, whatever. For example, while opposing a national paid holiday in King's honor, one senator tried to present evidence showing that King espoused action-oriented Marxism. One syndicated columnist said of that senator that he was a thick-headed, small-minded, ignorant, racist bumpkin. Oh, that's just part of the tactics. One man that was in the know called King Martin Luther King.
Oh, how dare you say it?
I didn't say it. I said one man said it. Now, you might say that I'm a white supremacist, but the man who said that was a congressman, Adam Clayton Powell, who is a black man himself. And plenty of other blacks have accused King of being an enemy to the blacks and to America. You just don't hear about it, that's all. Julia Brown is one. She was a black woman. She courageously served as an FBI counterintelligence agent within the Communist Party. Of course, that was back in the days when the FBI was more the FBI than the KGB, an outward arm of the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith. But that's a whole nother story. But back in those days, she was working for the FBI. I want to give you some quotes by her, Julia Brown, taken from the book that I offered to you for a $6 offering, Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth. She said, and I quote, "Mr. King was one of the worst enemies my people ever had. I know that it is considered poor taste to speak ill of the dead, but when someone served the enemies of our country while alive, and his name is still used by his comrades to promote anti-American activity, shouldn't people who know the truth speak out? I learned many surprising things while I served in the Communist Party for the FBI. Communist leaders told us about the demonstrations that would be started, the protest marches, the demands that would be made for massive federal intervention. Every communist was ordered to help convince American Negroes that we were no better off than slaves. Whenever, wherever we went, whatever we did, we were to promote race consciousness and resentment, because the communists knew that the technique of divide and conquer really works. We were also told to promote Martin Luther King, to unite Negroes and whites behind him, and to turn him into some kind of national hero. We were to look to King as our leader in this struggle, communists said, because he was on our side. I know they were right, because while I was in the Communist Party, I learned that Martin Luther King attended a communist training school. I learned that several of his aides and assistants were communists, that he received funds from communists, and that he was taking directions from communists." End the quote. Now, that's the end of quote by a black woman, Julia Brown. The Bible says, Psalms 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Well, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did sit with the scoffing Antichrist communists and use them as counselors. He was photographed in 1958 sitting with high-ranking communists in a communist training school. Now, I know this seems stupid, antiquated to so many, because so many now believe that communism is dead. Well, we've never quite understood that it really never was communism. It was simply the tares, the sons of hell, those that serve Satan, who are determined to have his kingdom in place of the kingdom, the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back in those days, the head of the FBI said, warned, I might say, the American people that he said that communist influence does not exist in the Negro. Communist influence does exist, in the Negro movement and in its influence, which is vitally important. He went on to say that the Communist Party, quote, strives to exploit what are often legitimate Negro complaints and grievances for the advancement of their cause. Racial incidents are magnified and dramatized by them in an effort to generate racial tension. End the quote. That same head of the FBI described King at that time as, quote, a tomcat with obsessive, degenerate sexual urges, end the quote. And at that time, that federal agency, that was back when they really did have to get a court order to wiretap us, like today when we have a president that's in favor of torture and in favor of spying on the American citizens without even judicial permission to do so. In those days, it was a little bit different, but nevertheless, that's off the point, I guess. The FBI, accumulated 14 file cabinets of material on King, much of which was labeled, get this, obscene. It was reported that he operated, well, let's put it this way, that he organized wild interracial sex orgies, which included acts of perversion, that he hired prostitutes, forced a young white civil rights worker to prove her loyalty to him. David Garrow, the author of a biography on King, stated that the FBI felt that the following were solid grounds for investigation: embezzlement, employing prostitutes, alienating wives, affections from their husbands, violation of the Mann Act, which is, by the way, a federal crime which involves taking, with immoral purposes, women across state lines. Mr. King was reported by the New York Post in 1958 saying, I'm sure immigration will lead to interracial marriage, end of quote. Now, interracial marriage is a violation, my friends, of God's law. And it was made known by those that were once of that communist party as a ploy to weaken America's strength. Willard Foster, head of the FBI, of the Communist Party in the 1940s, wrote in his book entitled Toward Soviet America the following words, quote, the American Soviet will, of course, abolish all restrictions upon interracial marriage. The revolution will only hasten this process of integration, already proceeding throughout the world with increasing tempo. End the quote. Now, there's much more that could be written. For much more rotten fruit has been found concerning the so-called Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. But that 14 files that the FBI had of material is now sealed by a federal judge until the year of 2027. In spite of this, there is more than enough material, though, out there. evidence, if you will, to conclude that he was a false prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, I feel that a warning should be given to those that are involved in promoting the myth that we have today, the Martin Luther King Jr. myth. To those who would choose to follow in King's hypocritical footsteps, the Bible says, Proverbs 6, 12 through 15, quote, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. He winketh his eye, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy." End the quote. And in keeping with this portion of God's word, it appears that King's life was abruptly ended at the age of 39. I want to give this Bible warning to the federal judge who sealed the file, and two judges who are supposed to stand for justice and righteousness. That particular judge, I say to you, your true motive in sealing the file and keeping the light of truth from the people is laid bare in Scripture. John 3, 19 and 20 says, quote, "And his is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." End the quote. I want to speak to the spineless politician who voted to honor King as a national hero. As I read from Isaiah at the beginning of this broadcast, that prophet said in Isaiah 5:23, quote, "Woe to them which justify the wicked for reward," end the quote. One senator at the time that that was passed said of the passage of the Martin Luther King holiday bill, quote, "If its passage," and I quote, if its passage in the Senate had been by secret ballot, it would not have received 20 votes, end the quote. But since they lacked the guts to stand for righteousness so as to receive their political reward, they so voted. I want to say this to the teachers and historians who for pay would extol King as a virtuous hero and portray George Washington and Thomas Jefferson as whoremongers. Woe to them who call good evil and evil good, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. End the quote. I want to say to the Christian who really doesn't care, Martin Luther King Jr., who love may have been cold for Jesus, is far more acceptable in the eyes of Jesus than you. You with a lukewarm, pious, religious do-nothing attitude. Supposedly want to save souls from hell, if there's any of you left out there even wanting to do that, but willingly sit and watch your country go to hell. You who are supposed to love truth, to hunger and to thirst for righteousness, to be the salt of the earth. To you, Jesus said in Revelation 3, I read, quote, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. End the quote.
And I'll say to the nation of the water, such a man.
Isaiah 1:21 seems to describe you. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It is full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, nor doth the cause of the widow come unto them. End the quote. I think I'm going to pause here and tell you that this tract that I'd like to give you is yours free, if you like for it. Martin Luther King Jr., his dream, our nightmare. It's our little way of doing our part as being a voice in the wilderness to a nation that would prefer a lie over the truth. Write to us for it, we'll send it to you. Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. That's Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. For those of you that would like a little more truth than what I've given you and what this tract has to give you, write for this book that is full of truth and illustrations, fully footnoted, documented, entitled Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth. It's about 70 pages, and it's yours if you send an offering of at least $6. More would be appreciated, because we got to get more truth out and do more, and you can't do that without support. Remember that. And remember this, some of you that like to listen to this broadcast and you do nothing, you find it interesting, don't be surprised if one day we're just gone. We're not there. You say, oh, I sure would like to hear some more of what that guy had to say. Yeah, but you didn't like the truth, love the truth enough to make a sacrifice and pay for it.
You want to find Article 3, and you will find in there that Congress has the ability to clip the wings of these judges when they overstep their boundaries. And, you know, let's take some examples. I mean, for instance, prayer in schools. Could Congress clip the judiciary's wings as far as making decisions about what can go on in schools?
Yes, they certainly could. And when the prayer decision came down, even the dean of the Harvard Law School, Mr. Griswold, said Congress, the Supreme Court should never have taken that case in the first place. These are matters that ought to be decided at the local level.
What about, the biggie, Roe versus Wade and the pro-life questions? Could Congress do anything about that?
Well, there are things that Congress can do, and I hope the pro-life movement will understand that they are needed in this battle against the courts. Now, as a practical matter, I think it is better to go for the easier votes, and I would say the Pledge of Allegiance and the marriage and even the Ten Commandments through a bill called the Constitution Restoration Act would be easier votes. And I think we ought to go for those first, and then I think the court's going to get the message. But in any event, we can take up clipping the courts on the subject of abortion after that. But just look how outrageous it is that the Congress passed the ban on partial birth abortions, and it was signed by the president. And then immediately after that, the pro-aborts ran to a couple of Clinton-appointed judges, who immediately struck it down. Now, there's no reason why we should put up with this.
So you're saying Congress, using its authority under the Constitution, could limit the jurisdiction of the United States Supreme Court over such issues.
That's correct. And they should do it, and they're just a bunch of marshmallows if they don't do it.
Now, but isn't it our fault if we haven't put the pressure on our congressional leaders to do this? Because we're talking about pornography. We're talking about marriage being ruined and redefined. We're talking about pro-life matters. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. Our schools, I mean, a very fabric of our society. Shouldn't we be putting up the heat and saying, if we're going to vote for you, you've got to do some of these things?
That's right. That's exactly what we ought to do. If we're going to vote for you, you've got to take action against the supremacist judges. And I personally believe that this fight that's going on against Tom DeLay is because he is one of the ones, he's a leader, he's in leadership, and he's the one of the ones who has spoken out against the activism of the courts. And they know he's a courageous leader, and that's why they're trying everything to try to silence him. And now they've got him so busy defending himself that he hasn't been able to push forward with the legislation we need to clamp down on the courts. So I'm hoping some other congressman will. Now, just last week, Congressman Hostetler of Indiana, who's a good man, got the House to pass an amendment that said no federal money can be spent for the project of removing the Ten Commandments from a public building. Now, that's the way Congress can use its spending power. And Congress can say, we're not going to spend the taxpayers' money for that purpose. And all these defenders of the court denouncing that. The New York Times had an editorial saying how dreadful that is. But it isn't dreadful. It's just right. We don't want our money spent to remove Ten Commandments plaques. And so bully for Congressman Hostetler. It was a splendid thing that he did, and the Congress ought to do more of it.
Okay, we're going to go to Deborah, who's calling us from Florida. Deborah, welcome to Faith and Family.
Hello. I just want to say I think this is great news. I didn't know nothing about what you guys are saying, and I just think that, you know, we're having a World Youth Day here in St. Augustine, Florida, and if we could get some things to pass out to all the youth that are going to be here, and hopefully other youth, you know, the whole world will have a World Youth Day, and if we could pass stuff around to all the people that goes to these World Youth Day, I think we could change this world, get the message out there, because I know lots of people don't know what you guys were just saying.
Well, I think you're right, Deborah, and I think our public school systems and our press, I haven't read about Congress's right under Article 3 of the Constitution in any secular newspaper I can think of. It's only been through, you know, Christian and conservative periodicals. You see this pop up now and then in a book like Phyllis's. But I think it's going to start with getting Phyllis's book in the hands of teachers, parents, and pastors. And, again, that title is The Supremacists, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It. And Spence Publishing is offering a great deal to our listeners. You can call them at 1-888-773-6782. They'll make you a great deal on one of these books. And I would urge you not just to get one for yourself, but, again, pass them on to your leaders. And I'm sure there's representatives in Congress and in your state that do not know their ability to overturn some of these things.
Yes, you're right. And this is exactly the kind of book for your callers and listeners to get, because it is an easy read, and it does present this in common sense terms. And, of course, when you get into a lawsuit, they try to use a lot of big words, like saying marriage is an evolving paradigm, and talk about an evolving Constitution, and that's a lot of nonsense. You and I can read the Constitution. We're coming up now on the Declaration of Independence, which is our country's founding document. And people need to know that it is our country's great religious document. America was not founded as a secular state. There are five references to God in the Declaration of Independence. God is creator. God is supreme judge. God is supreme lawmaker. God as a patron and protector, and God is the source of all rights. And people need to know that. Get it out and read it.
I agree. And, you know, if your children are not homeschooled, say a traditional classroom situation, I know one of the things kids stare at the wall with a blank stare, wondering what they're going to do for a book report or some paper they have to write. They get to pick the topic. Well, here's a great topic. And if you, you know, sometimes these even have to be submitted or read by classmates, and then others in the classroom could find out about it. So here's a book for a book report. Here's a topic for a great school paper. And parents, you can educate yourselves and educate your children and maybe some of their classmates at the same time, because the word has to get out, because if we don't do it, it's probably not going to be done. So the Calvary's not going to come. We are the Calvary. That's why we're having this broadcast. So get a hold of that book. Again, the number to get a copy is 1-888-773-6782. Phyllis, I'd like to talk about the state judicial supremacists before we finish up the broadcast, because everybody, I would dare say, in the whole world who has access to the media sure knows about the Florida Supreme Court. I know we're not alone, but, you know, the entire 2000 presidential election got tossed to this court. And again, the whole world heard about Terri Schiavo as the Florida Supreme Court was involved or not involved in keeping her from dying. Talk about the Supreme State Supreme Courts, if you would.
Yes, in many cases, the state Supreme Courts are just as bad as the federal. And there are other ways of dealing with them. Of course, the federal guys have got life tenure. But the state ones don't, and they come up for retention, and we should be after them to make sure that the right guys get appointed, and that if they're up for retention and they're bad, they should be beaten. For example, in Missouri last year, we had a judge up for retention who was pro-abortion, anti-marriage, anti-guns, anti-capital punishment, and anti-tort reform. It was five black marks against him. He'd been really working with the left-wingers all his life. And we had a little campaign to try to keep him from being retained. Unfortunately, he managed to still get 60% of the vote, because most people don't understand these retention votes. In fact, really what gave me a pain was the way it appeared on the ballot was, shall Judge so-and-so be retained? And then there was a block for yes and a block for no. And the Bar Association put out propaganda that indicated we don't have any right to vote no. You know, you're only supposed to vote yes. But contrary-wise, you have the right to vote no. And in Illinois, there was a judge who got enough no votes that he was kicked out of his judgeship, and that was a good thing. And so people have to be alert to this and keep after them. When you talk about the Florida Supreme Court, it was the Florida Supreme Court in the 2000 election that was the supremacist judges. And thank goodness we did have the U.S. Supreme Court to not let them get by with their attempting to rewrite the election. Right now, as we talk, the Kansas State Supreme Court is trying to force the Kansas legislature. In fact, it has ordered the Kansas legislature to raise taxes in order to put more taxes in the schools. Now, you can argue again about how much taxes should be put in the public schools, but it's not a judicial function. And I hope the legislature has the nerve to tell the judges, forget it, we're going to do what we think is right and what our people want us to do.
Well, you know, speaking right here in Florida, the Florida Supreme Court, for instance, has made abortion a constitutional right. So even if Roe Wade is reversed, we have a major problem here. And before beginning the Family Life Center, I spent about a year and a half fighting these Supreme Court justices. And it was very interesting. The first one we did, this is one of the men who made Florida a pro-abortion by constitution state. But when it came time for voting, and this broadcast is being primarily heard over Catholic radio stations, I'm sad to say that Catholic voters were worse in saying no to the pro-abortion Florida Supreme Court justice than secular voters were, or than evangelical voters. And I think one of the reasons, there wasn't a single Catholic voter guide in the state of Florida that mentioned the merit retention race, and there wasn't a single article in the Florida Catholic that mentioned the merit retention race. So the Catholics, even those pro-life going to vote, didn't know about this issue. And so voter guides need to inform people about the importance of the judicial things that are appearing on the ballot, or else we're sending our pro-life people into the voting booth uninformed.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And by and large, the pro-life movement has not understood the important role that the judges play in the whole pro-life movement. It is terribly important that they recognize that they're going to have to do something about supremacist judges if we ever want to protect the lives of unborn babies. I had the same problem, Steve, when in the years I was fighting the Equal Rights Amendment, where we had quite a number of pro-life state legislators who considered...
whether there's a need or not. Doesn't matter what the cause is. And his proof was, God gave his son. Can't go much better than that. His son gave his life. And if you have the spirit of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. And any man that hath not the spirit is none of his. It's axiomatic. If a giving God... and a giving son of God, nature is in you and makes you a giver.
Es a veces empezar la lucha. A veces los accidentes o sorpresas desafortunadas son los puntos de cambios en nuestra vida. Aunque son dolorosos, nos están advirtiendo que si no cambiamos, pronto estaremos atrapados dentro de los barros de los pantanos. Cuando accidentes sorprendentes o sorpresas desafortunadas nos sucedan, estos nos quejamos del destino de la mala suerte. Pero si nos calmamos y pensamos desde otro punto de vista más positivo, si tenemos el coraje de enfrentar buenas
más atractiva. Desde Madrid y a través de Radio Exterior de España, queremos acercarnos a usted. www.sammyradio.com
I-L-Y-R-O-C-I-O .com. 另外欢迎你用电子发箱写信给我们。地址是 worldwide@familyradio.com。 我慢慢再读一次 worldwide@familyradio.com.
This is Family Radio. We continue broadcasting in the 41-meter band. We now begin broadcasting on 9715 kilohertz, 31 meters, and on 6855 kilohertz, 41 meters, and on 5985 kilohertz, 49 meters, and on 9930 kilohertz, 31 meters, and on 9505 kilohertz, 31 meters. This is WYFR, Okeechobee, Florida, the United States of America.
Egypt tries to resolve the standoff between Israel and the Palestinians after groups holding the Israeli soldiers make a new set of demands. Another set of trade talks, another failure to agree.
Well, that's what today is that we haven't been able to move. We must understand that there are major gaps. And we must recognize that there is a crisis.
A Mexican sets the pool for skin. We ask whether a free trade zone the United States has benefited the country. We're live in northern France to commemorate the Battle of the Somme. A World War bloodbath has left more than a million people dead. Look here on the wall today. First, today's main stories in detail.
BBC World News, I'm Jerry Smith. A senior Egyptian envoy is due to hold talks with Israeli and Palestinian officials today to try to mediate an end to the crisis sparked by the abduction of an Israeli soldier. The initiative by the head of Egyptian intelligence comes after another night of Israeli airstrikes targeting what Israel says were Palestinian militant positions. Alan Johnston reports from Gaza.
The group behind the capture of Corporal Gilad Shalit involved the military wing of the Hamas movement, a new way-right explorer, and that's well-known organization. It's the second time that they've issued a statement. This one repeated their demand that all Palestinian women and children held in Israeli jails be freed, but it added a new condition, calling for the release of 1,000 Arab prisoners. The statement said that those freed should include detained.
Desde Berlín, Jorge Orellana con los detalles.
Los intelectuales también participan en forma indirecta de lo que significa la emoción y el fútbol de la Copa Mundial, en un paréntesis de lo que significa la Copa Mundial en Alemania 2000. Gonzalo Celorio, que nació en 1948, acaba de escribir un libro sobre la Revolución Cubana y dijo que no podemos entender a la generación de 1968 sin la Revolución Cubana. Pero más adelante, el escritor Gonzalo Celorio asegura que quedó desencantado con la Revolución Cubana. No hay una fecha precisa, pero quizá el momento culminante.
One of those things that people read in the Bible that Jesus said, and they don't understand. And they give it some kind of marshmallow meaning of no effect.
You see, the only thoughts
I'm going to get.
Prisoners from Israeli jail, while the Allies from Martyrs Brigade claimed to have kidnapped a second Israeli soldier, which is similar to him, although that kidnapping has not been confirmed. The Hamas demands were laid out with the popular resistance community and the army of Islam. Meanwhile, Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh insists that his Hamas-led government is working to free the soldiers into the Israel. Spoke with correspondent Linda Gladstone in Jerusalem. She spoke to Israel from Texas.